You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
For me, yeah, I have run into some quarterback trouble. I can't throw the ball to myself. The guys that I have played with in the past were not bad quarterbacks. It wasn't that. It's just kind of the situation. Not an eye type of sport. This is a team sport. Like, I can't throw the ball to myself. And if you have a great quarterback who doesn't have good blockers, he can't throw the ball right. And if you don't have coaches putting people in position, you see what I'm saying? There's a lot that goes on. So just learning the sport, you kind of see that the position that I'm in, it's not just a thing that I can do on my own. You know, maybe at DB, to a certain extent, they can just make a play. Maybe a linebacker can just run, tackle somebody. But at receiver, I got to wait.
That is Bills wide receiver Elijah Moore. Can't throw the ball to myself. He might have a case for that for the quarterbacks he's played with, but also I don't know how that feels. It's not necessarily... It sounds like excuse-making a little bit for why you haven't put up more numbers this year, but again, I think he's a bit of a defense on that. Anyways, Elijah Moore, last year of the Browns. We had our current guest, Jonathan Peterlin, from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland on in April after Moore signed with the Bills right after the draft. Thanks for joining in, Jonathan, and previewing the Browns with us this year.
Hey, Joe. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Before actually I get to football, I've been... talked a little bit earlier about this. I wanted to get to it later about LeBron and maybe being traded in the NBA and why it's almost kind of weird to me that ESPN or like the big, you know, talking networks that are trying to fill a slow part of the sports calendar maybe aren't spending much time on that. Is there just no belief that it'll actually happen? Because I don't know, like it does feel like the Lakers are more interested in the future. And he put a pretty clear statement, I thought, out through his agent that, like, if that's going to happen, I might want to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird because you'd think ESPN would just latch onto it and all the major places would. I mean, I would if I were them. I have locally, if we're being honest. It's not like I've shied away from it. Yeah. It's a pretty dead NFL time of the season. And so, like, so the problem that comes up with this is that for the Cavs to actually make a trade after LeBron opted in, it's going to be really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And everyone keeps pointing out how hard it would be. But if anybody could make it happen, it'd be LeBron and Rich Paul trying to find a way to navigate it. But I think the big belief there is that LeBron's not going to take some sort of buyout option, so it's not going to end up being a cheap thing. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it just doesn't seem like – it seems like LeBron is doing the same thing that LeBron always does, which is just tries to make a team – bend to every decision that he wants to have happen. And this is what he does with the Lakers. He did it in Cleveland. He did it in Miami. Yeah. And it's probably what he's doing right now. So he's almost like the boy who cried wolf. And for some reason, the national publications just aren't latching onto it.
Yeah. We had me and our co-host Jeremy, who's not here today, we had a debate last week about what the best possible story would be for him.
Yeah.
And like Jeremy really wants to see him and Steph play together. So like him going to the Warriors and there were trade rumors at the deadline. For me though, like I've been consistent on this. I don't know, like you just kind of put it that way. It'd be very, very hard for them to do it. But given that the East looks pretty weak right now, like him kind of finishing the story in Cleveland to me would be like, I think that would be the number one story if I could, you know, if I could nitpick anything that would happen with him.
Yeah. And I think you're right. And I think that's why a lot of people here continue to have some hope, even though it doesn't seem very likely, because if we know anything about LeBron, LeBron loves a story. Like LeBron is a storyteller at the end of the day. He loves narratives and he loves that. And so like, if anybody were to latch onto it, but like, it's weird. So many people are thinking that like the Knicks would be a higher possibility than the Cavs. And it's like, I get the connection with Mike Brown. Sure, fine. He does. LeBron does love Mike Brown. He does. But like, that's not enough for LeBron. Unless he just thought, the only hang up I have on that, tell me if you agree with this or not. But the only thing I think that would like incentivize LeBron is that he could create a new narrative about himself. Like Peyton Manning, for instance. What do we talk about with Peyton Manning? It's that he went to 4 Super Bowls with 4 different head coaches. We look at him like, wow, he could do it with anybody. If he won with New York, he won with 4 different places, and he might be able to turn around. And instead of it seeming like he's always hopping from place to place to place, the narrative would then be, whoa, wait, LeBron took 4 different franchises? He won with 4 different places? Man, he really could just win anywhere. And I think that'd be a way to kind of differentiate himself from MJ, who obviously just won with the Bulls.
I think you're on to it there with the name. Like the number one thing for him there might just be like, oh, I won with the Knicks. Like that just feels like an accomplishment in its own right. That like not that they're not that far away. I mean, they are, if they're not right there with the Cavs as the betting favorite in the East, I'm sure they're close behind. But it would be, there would just be something about doing it there on an organization that has kind of been laughed at for decades. It would be bragging rights. It would be more bragging rights. I'm not even sure he needs it, but it would be another feather in his cap. Something he hasn't done yet.
They haven't won in 50 years.
Right.
Like I was talking with my co-host on my show about like the impact that winning in New York has. Because like think about like how insane they go when they just make it to the conference finals. I mean, they like shut down Times Square after some of those wins. Like it's a big city for a reason, and they're obsessive about basketball. So like, yeah, the impact would be huge.
Right, the business part of it too. So yeah, I'm very curious in how that develops, and I think, but you know, even money, I would pick that he stays with LA. But I'm kind of hoping that we get something new with him. Jonathan Peterlin with us on the Western Hotline. So we've been going through the Bills' opponents this week, Jonathan, and Cleveland is late in the year, and whenever we talk quarterback. And I think we've asked you this way earlier in the offseason, like whenever we look at the Bills schedule, like we kind of have a good idea of which quarterback will be in that game in every single week until you get to Cleveland really late in week 16, which like I don't even know if I want to ask you who will be the starter that game, because how could you possibly, it's tough enough to predict week 1 for them, let alone week 13 or week 16, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, this is like an impossible scenario, but for you, Joe, we'll try. So how I think it's going to go down is I think Joe Flacco is going to win the job. And then I don't know if you've seen the Browns schedule or not, but the first 6 weeks are just brutal. All you're doing is you're playing every AFC North quarterback. That's Burrow, that's Lamar, that's Rodgers. And then you also you got a trip to London in there to play J.J. McCarthy. It's probably the easiest thing. Jordan Love is in there. The point is that it's a lot of tough quarterbacks in the first 6 weeks. Extended up the first 7 or 8. It's not an easy schedule. So I think Joe Flacco gets a start out of the gate, and I think he struggles, but does Joe Flacco things where some of it's fun, some of it isn't fun, and ultimately the thing starts to take a dip down. And then I think it's Shador Sanders after that. And then the bet I'd be making is Shador keeps the job the rest of the way. But more people than not believe that we'll see all 4 quarterbacks, and that's Kenny Pickett included, that's Dylan Gabriel included. Then we'll just see a sweet transition from Joe to Shador, and that's it.
Would that imply that they would keep all 4? Because doesn't that seem unlikely, or do you think that they would do that?
The prevailing thought right now, so I don't think they will. I think the Kenny Pickett stuff is all just them trying to drive up some sense of a price. I think the Browns love the idea of getting, if they traded for him initially for a 5th-round pick in DTR, if they can get a 4th-round pick or even a 5th-round pick back, I think the Browns are like, sweet, that's awesome. So I think it's a lot of conversation about them trying to drive up price for somebody. Because if you look around the room, the only one with actual value, just based off of, because I don't think Kenny Pickett's any good, but based off of what we've seen with an actual interest, would probably be Kenny Pickett. So I think that's what they're doing. But like the prevailing thought right now is that they want to keep all four, and they're going to try to go through the season with four at least to start. And it's just, I don't see it happening, but it wouldn't surprise me based off of just the idea that if you start Joe Flacco, well, what's Kenny Pickett going to do? It's not like he's got any other options. And so maybe they really do believe that Kenny Pickett after that can come in, start some games, and be their Sam Darnold project and go from there.
Yeah. The most he would do, like, I guess, would be if Flacco starts the year and they are, you know, pretty competitive. Maybe they're losing a couple more games than they want, but it looks better than, you know, than the worst case scenario. They would have to be live, right? Like, they would have to be live to be in the race at some point where you would go to Pickett over a young guy if you're going to make a quarterback change. But that's where it kind of is weird, because if you are at a point where you want to make a quarterback change, I would assume you're probably not that competitive for a playoff spot.
So the only hang-up I would have on that, I agree with a lot of what you said. The only hang-up I would have is the Kevin Stefanski effect of all this. Like, if he's starting to feel like he's got to show people that he's that quarterback whisperer that everyone thinks that he is, this is all ego-driven and this is all perception-driven, but sometimes that's why they make decisions in the NFL. I could see him saying, I want to do this with Kenny Pickett. And what he would tell everyone is, Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, not ready. And then he wants to turn Kenny Pickett into Sam Darnold, or he wants to turn him into his version of Sam Darnold or Geno Smith, and just get a bunch of credit for trying to, for basically making someone like Kenny Pickett that was left for dead in Pittsburgh, and make him good again. And I think he cares about that image. And if I'm Stefanski, listen, I don't blame him for that. I would try to protect the quarterback whisperer image as well, especially when it's been 6 years and you haven't really done anything with quarterbacks, and somehow you're still seen as this great quarterback coach.
Right, and he definitely is. Like, two-time coach of the year, like when I look at a list of head coaches and think about those types of guys, he does still come up in my mind, even though, right, like, maybe he's not got the resume as like a Kevin O'Connell starting to develop that. But like you said, like, why does O'Connell get that? It's because he's now done it with Sam Darnold, who nobody else could do that with. And once you are able to accomplish that, I think as a coach, you're made for at least a few years.
It's one of the more mind-blowing narratives to me that, like, Kevin Stefanski as a head coach gets all this credit for developing quarterbacks. And it's like, who's he made better? Like, even Jacoby Brissett, when he started 11 games in place of Deshaun Watson, looked like every time we've ever seen Jacoby Brissett. But people are like, oh, well, Brissett was awesome. It's like, no, he wasn't. He was fine. He looked the same in Indy, too, a couple years prior. Like, it's so befuddling to me. And I like Stefanski. I think he's an adult. I think he's got himself well put together. But, like, I don't know what he's done to make everyone in the national media just believe that he can do this quarterback thing. Because I got no evidence through 6 years that he can take a quarterback and then make him into something. I think he thinks he's Kyle Shanahan. I think I've told you this before. But he's far from it in that respect.
Yeah. You know what I really think it is? I think it's got to just be he made the playoffs with five different guys, right? Like, and that's not answering your question of, like, who he's developed, because none of those guys are – I mean, Joe Flacco could be a starter this year, but none of those other guys are starters in the league at all. But just the simple fact of he made the playoffs with five different starters over the course of the year, I think probably is the thing that's giving him a lot of credit, even though – like, what's really the value of that? The value of that would be, oh, if he did it once, he could do it again. And I don't know, like, that would be this year. This year, he's got four guys – and that quarterback room, if he could do it again, it would, I think, be crazy. But who is expecting them to start, like, three, four different quarterbacks this year and have that work?
Well, the only thing that really worked for them that season that was, like, really awesome, and this, again, goes against Stefanski and any narrative that he's awesome with quarterbacks, was you had one of the best defenses in the entire NFL.
Right.
Like, that's why that team was able to do what it was able to do, is that defense, the first year under Jim Schwartz, was just awesome, and the defense took a major step back last year. And here's what I think will happen with this team this upcoming season, although I'm not projecting a lot of wins or anything. I think they're going to be like a diet version of the Steelers, where you're just going to try to have a great defense. They drafted two running backs in Samson and Judkins. and you had another one in Jerome Ford, who I actually really like. I think he's pretty good. And I think it's going to be a lot of running and a lot of trying to get the defense to basically just have you in games and try to do what Pittsburgh's been doing for a million years. We both know that doesn't result in any playoff wins. And at best, if everything goes right, Tomlin gets his team to a game over 500. I don't even think that's on the table with this team, but I think that's going to be the recipe that they try to have.
Yeah. So I, you kind of just answered a little bit. How likely or how possible do you think it is that they do surprise people and they are fighting for a spot late in the year? Maybe they don't make it, but they're even in the hunt graphic with a couple of weeks to go.
Oh yeah, I mean that's like a 1% chance.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to sound too down on it because it's just this is the time of the year for hope and everything like that. But I gotta treat your listeners honestly.
Yeah.
There's no projections of optimism there. There can't be. They haven't earned it. Vegas says they're a 4.5 win team. I tend to think maybe it's like a 5 or a 6 win team if everything goes right. Mm-hmm. But like really pull up the schedule. Like who in the NFL is giving you any of these easy wins? Or anything that, you know, like for you guys, obviously it's different. You guys probably look at the Browns and you're like, here's our easy win. Mm-hmm. But even like look at your schedule. Like you see it. All of a sudden it's like, wait, this team is good. This team is good. This team has got a lot of really good players. Like the NFL,
right?
NFL right now more than ever, there's just not a lot of teams that are tanking.
That's right. Last thing for you, Jonathan. Fantasy drafts are coming up. I've already got a couple that I'm in. Cleveland, the two things I think about for them is – if I knew Joe Flacco was starting the whole year, I would love Jerry Jeudy, but I don't think that's probably going to happen, so I'm afraid of it. The other one is Judkins and mm-hmm. how good that could be right away. Rookie running backs all the time are productive in fantasy. I guess how likely would that be for you that he is the number one there and that the team – doesn't the team have to be good enough defensively or just not they can't be trailing, I guess, third by 30 points every week and have him probably be, you know, what people would hope for.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because he's going to be sharing some carries. But I think he's going to have like a 700-800-yard season somewhere in that range. I think makes a lot of sense, and I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities. Jerome Ford last year still averaged – people don't realize this. He averaged over 5 yards a carry. So, Jerome Ford's very hit or miss, but averaging 5 yards a carry, like, you deserve some opportunity. So I think he's going to get that, and I think Samson's going to just kind of be there. But not get a lot of opportunities. But, yeah, like I'm high on Judkins, and I think he's going to – now I'd worry about the offensive line. I'd worry about the togetherness of the offensive line. It's a very injured and very old offensive line at this point. So, like, if you want to take a flyer on him, I would not advise against it. But I wouldn't set your lineups on it either.
Yeah. At Jay Peterlin, if you want to follow him on Twitter, 2-7 on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Thanks as always, Jonathan, and maybe we'll talk once the season gets rolling.
Definitely. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good one, man.
Thanks. The Browns this year, as he mentioned, they start the year Cincinnati, Baltimore, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota. Yikes. That is probably 0-5. Probably 0-5. If they make it out of there with 2 wins, I would be pretty impressed. I was open to him convincing me that they could be competitive this year. The defense a couple years ago was elite. The offensive line at times has been elite, but he does not sound confident that that's going to happen. The LeBron thing at the beginning there. So LeBron James, 40 years old, I think it's going to come down to one of two things. He kind of dared the Lakers through his agent, put out a statement after he opted in for a 1-year, $53 million contract, which I think makes him the 13th highest paid player in the league, by the way. LeBron basically told the Lakers, I know you're looking to the future with Luka Doncic, but I'm 40. This is year 25 for me, or 22, 23, whatever it is. Like, I got to win right now. Like, I'm not loving the idea of let's look for 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. And it kind of sounded like either let's make some moves to try to win the title this year, or like that's fine, but maybe move me. Let's reevaluate. Let me go somewhere else. And I am badly rooting for that to happen. And I the weird part about how no one's really covering this or talking about it is, one, it's the slow part of the sports calendar, and two, I don't know that people realize how good he still is. He's 40, yes. But last year, LeBron finished 6th in MVP voting, finished 2nd team All-NBA. So one of the top 10 players in the league still. And statistically, he had as good of a year, I mean, by on his averages, as he's had. I mean, he had as good of a year as he's ever had. Like, if you compare it to the Miami years, it's like the same stats. Like, 2 fewer points per game, 24 instead of 26. 51% shooting, 38% from 3. Like, all of it is still awesome. He played 70 games, so he didn't miss, like, a giant amount of time. He missed a few games in the middle there once Luka got there. So, like, a top 10 player in the league. Nick Wright is actually the guy I heard mention this yesterday, that Kevin Durant got traded to Houston, and everyone's like, wow, Kevin Durant traded. Like, LeBron was better than Durant last year, and he might get traded, and it's like, really? Maybe it's just that nobody believes that he'll actually move. I'm badly rooting for him to go to Cleveland, though. I think that would be really cool for him to go back there to finish his career. They would easily be the favorites in the East to win it all. Third stint, back home. I think that would be the best story in sports this summer if he were to go back there. 803-0550 is the phone number. What's going on with this NFL collusion case? There is a lot going on with the NFL and the NFLPA in cahoots together to keep under wraps a pretty bad finding about the NFL and their owners and how they operate. There are certain quarterbacks that should be, like, furious about this. I'll get to this when we come back. You got, like, the Chargers owner texting the Cardinals owner, congratulating him on, like, thanking him for getting Kyler Murray's contract down so that he can pay Justin Herbert less. Like, these players are being named in text messages between owners. On a level, this is like a level of collusion that would get you thrown out of your fantasy football league. And the NFL owners are just like, they're just doing it like it's nothing. Got some details on that when we come back. Also, revisit our Bills question from earlier. Who's the best defender they've ever had under Sean McDermott? Milano, Hyde, Poyer, Taron Johnson, Trey White. Got a couple of different good answers on that we can get to as well. That's coming up here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. It's a beautiful day out. I'm going to check in on the chat in a little bit. I haven't done that this week yet. I did see, yeah, obsessed with LeBron. You know, I might admit to that. I love LeBron. A little LeBron talk in the last segment. I want him to get traded. He plays at 10:30 at night on a team that never wins. Go back to Cleveland. Best team in the East. Go to the finals. It'd be great. Anyways, good morning. 803-0550 if you want to get in on some Bills talk. I'm going to get to this collusion thing in a second, but Jeremy Fowler just came out with his brand new position group this morning of the top 10 tight ends in the league, according to executives, coaches, and scouts, ranking the top 10 in the league. And actually, to my surprise, he was not in the top 10, but Dalton Kincaid was the first tight end listed under honorable mention, which I think kind of implies, because I think he does that in order of how many votes they get. I think that kind of implies that executives, coaches, scouts would view Dalton Kincaid as the 11th best tight end in football. And how wrong is that? It's definitely higher than I would have perceived him as, or definitely perceived how people in the league see him. The quote from an NFL personnel director on Kincaid: athletic, he can run, elite hands and ball skills, plus his quarterback will make him productive. See, that's the thing, though. Like, okay, he is athletic. He can run, but he's not, doesn't have elite speed for a tight end. Elite hands. He's supposed to have elite hands. I think this year should look better for that than last year. Year one, he caught everything. Last year, there were some drops, and that was highlighted by the last drop. Tough catch, but it's there. Make a play to keep the season alive. Your quarterback will make you productive does not sound like a compliment to me. That sounds like, usually when someone says that about a player, it's, you're actually not that good. You're only putting up the big numbers because you play with Josh Allen. So, kind of a weird one. And then an AFC scout, this I do agree with. An AFC scout said, quote, I think he's going to have a big bounce back year. And I would bet on that for Kincaid. I don't know how big. I mean, I don't think he's going to have Trey McBride season where he's putting up 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns, although McBride did not do that with the touchdowns. I don't see that in the cards for Kincaid, but 800 yards and 6 touchdowns feels really realistic. And that's double from what he had last season. And I don't even think that's his ceiling. His ceiling might be higher than that. The tight ends that are listed above Kincaid on this. Number one, is Brock Bowers after year one. There's a lot of stuff on Bowers, though, that he... I wonder if he's as good as the numbers. Number two, George Kittle. Number three, Sam Laporta. Number four, Trey McBride. I think McBride should be number one, personally. His highest ranking was number one. His lowest ranking was number 10. I don't think these guys... These people with the tight ends... Who's got Trey McBride as the 10th best tight end in football? Who's got Laporta number 9? Travis Kelce number 5? Eh. Mark Andrews 6. Did you watch him last year? Hockenson 7. Isaiah Likely 8. Dallas Goedert 9. David Njoku 10. I mean, when you look at it that way, maybe Kincaid is like the 11th best tight end in football. How many tight ends are better than him? Right now, and I'm not a big, big Kincaid guy. The guys behind him, Pat Freiermuth, I wouldn't say he's better. Hunter Henry, nope. Evan Ingram, meh. Maybe. Cole Kmet, nope. Jake Ferguson, nope. Jonnu Smith had a better year last year, but it's like his first good year in 7 seasons. Dalton Schultz, Tucker Kraft, Kyle Pitts, Juwan Johnson, Zach Ertz. Maybe he is the 11th best tight end in football. And that's with him being kind of disappointing through 2 years. I mean, 1,100 yards in 2 seasons, 4 touchdowns, I think is a lot less than people would have been hoping for. So where will he be on this list next year? I mean, he could very easily hop over Njoku, Goddard, Mark Andrews, Kelce. I mean, what are the odds that Dalton Kincaid has a more productive season this year than Travis Kelce does? Travis Kelce is 35 years old. You might be surprised, though, how much he produced last year compared to what it felt like. It felt like Travis Kelce did nothing last year. That he had a very, very pedestrian regular season and then turned it on a little bit once he got to the playoffs. And part of that might be when we saw him against the Bills, he didn't do much in either game, regular season or the playoff game. I think, what was he, 2-for-19 in the playoff game? Like, he did not go off against the Bills. He did have 133 targets. He got thrown the ball a ton. Kincaid, for comparison, 75 targets. 97 catches, 823 yards for Kelce. Only 3 touchdowns. That was a career low for him. This year, I mean, if the arrow is pointing down, which everyone would assume, and by the way, he's 35 now, he'll be 36 October 5th. So the most meaningful games of the year, playoffs, he'll be 36 years old. How big a drop-off will there be for Kelce? Because if he goes down to, instead of 97 catches, we're talking like 60, 70 catches and 700 yards and a couple touchdowns. Like, Dalton Kincaid should top that. I wonder what the over-under lines would say about that. I don't think we are at over-under prop bets yet. I'll check to see if they're up on like yardage for the season and what Kincaid would be set at. But I think if I were setting the odds, I might want to put Kincaid above Kelce, at least for yardage. I don't think that's that crazy. He's 10 years younger. He should, shouldn't he? He should be better than 36-year-old Travis Kelce. I don't think that's wild to say. It's just not the same player. Kelce can't move like he used to. And there's that understanding with Mahomes, but you've got Rashee Rice coming back. You've got Marquise Brown coming back, Worthy into year two. Like, really, Kansas City should be built through the wide receiver position more than they have been maybe ever, because it was always Hill and Kelce when Hill was there. Kelsey's always been such a big part of it, even back to the Alex Smith days, whereas now, if he's going to take on a lesser role because of his age, and maybe they want to save him for the playoffs, then, listen, all those guys that I just mentioned are like downfield speed guys. So, we talked yesterday with Joe Marino about the evolution of the Bills offense and how they do all these five-man protections and they run the ball against stacked boxes and they do it really well, better than anybody in the league. When the defense is loading up defenders in the box, Bills still run the ball well. And that also sets them up to throw against it because it keeps them in a stacked box, that defense. So this year, if your Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore additions are able to get teams out of a stacked box a little bit more often, it actually could make the Bills a better run game this year because their receivers are now a bigger threat. Last year, you didn't have to worry about them. Just man up Amari Cooper and Keon Coleman one-on-one, and more often than not, you're going to win that battle. And it allows you to throw everybody in the box and not allow the Bills to run it. Well, they were able to run it anyway. But this year, if you can't do that because we can't leave Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore, and Khalil Shakir on an island, we'll get beat more often. Well, then, now I've got less linebackers in there, and James Cook averaging 4.8 yards per carry last year. This might be 5.3. Might have a more efficient run game. That's how I see the evolution of the Bills offense after talking to Joe yesterday about that. For the Chiefs, the evolution for them, I think, is the opposite. I think it is they don't really necessarily run the ball great. Teams already don't stack boxes against them. So for them, it's just two high safeties against us is going to remain, and we got to fight fire with fire. There is no dragging them out of it, I don't think. I think it's just this is how defenses play us, and we've got to find a way to connect on big plays. The run game just kind of exists over here. It's pretty average, pretty pedestrian, and I don't think they really did much this offseason that changes that equation at all. For them, it's just, and defenses play them differently than the Bills. That's the big point here, is last year, the numbers kind of show that the Bills got played differently than Kansas City. Maybe this year it'll look, you know, closer together because the Bills' weapons are now on that level. So with all that coming back to the tight ends, I think Kansas City, their evolution is balls going out to the receivers more often. For the Bills, I think it might be more 12 personnel and running the ball. And if that's the case, then play action to Kincaid feels like a play that they're going to want to run a lot. 803-0550 is the phone number on this NFL collusion case when we come back. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
If I was running the union and I got this ruling in which Roger Goodell was caught saying this stuff in coordination with the owners, the eight owners were named in this and others, one might presume, I would be calling for Roger Goodell's job. Now, will that happen in real time? I doubt that, but that is actively what the leverage that the union might have had here is. They could have gone to Capitol Hill, they could have called for hearings, they could have made an enormous public display of look at what we're dealing with heading into our next CBA, is that the leadership of the NFL itself is doing this stuff. And so I'm not predicting, I'm merely saying that this is actually concretely in the document part of the conversation.
That is Pablo Torre, who has been all over this story. He reported it originally that the NFL owners colluded to keep down guaranteed money in player contracts after the Deshaun Watson contract. And you've got owners in text messages communicating with each other to keep their own, like Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert, I mentioned the example of the Chargers and the Cardinals owner, and there's more of those, like texting with each other, like colluding to like, all right, if we keep Kyler's contract down, then I can keep Justin's contract here. Like that stuff should not be happening between owners at all. And what also should not be happening, which I think you're going to get some big shakeups. Maybe not, you know, Paolo Torre's mentioning the commissioner there. I mean, maybe there are grounds, because I think the commissioner's named in some of this stuff too, for Goodell to be removed, but that's not going to happen. What is going to happen is the NFLPA leader is going to be out. Lloyd Howell and maybe J.C. Treader, the guy behind him that's supposed to be the next man up. how on earth, like, their jobs are to represent the players, and they agreed to keep it a secret for the NFL that they had colluded to keep guaranteed money down. How on earth could they possibly still keep those jobs? In terms of, like, impact on the field, or maybe more for, like, contracts, cap hit stuff. I mean, I wonder what the response would be to this, the retaliation. I get, the PA is now, they're filing legal action against the league because they got caught. They had agreed to not do that and to keep it a secret. Now, after they got caught keeping it a secret, they now we'll do it. But apparently they're going to get in trouble for that too, because the NFL is saying, well, if you're going to come after us after you agreed not to, then you owe us $12 million in legal fees. So there's like all, there's going to be fighting on this. And again, like, the biggest impact for you, like, that you might care about, is probably how it relates to player contracts. And I don't know, like, now they've been caught colluding, it can kind of open up Pandora's box on, well, what else are they willing to collude on? Because they clearly had no problem on this. What else? So that could easily become a part of this conversation if, you know, yeah, I'm sure people will try to relate this to officiating or something. Also, how player contracts get structured going forward, because there are more and more guaranteed contracts that are coming out, but maybe not since that Watson one.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Really, maybe it's been a couple of years. That's the fight that's going on right now. There's a very weird thing happening with NFL contracts in that I think this is still true, that there are something like 35 unsigned rookies from the draft, and 30 of them or 29 of them are from the second round. All the second round picks haven't signed. And I think that includes TJ Sanders of the Bills. Has not signed. And that is because two second round picks at the top of the second round signed fully guaranteed contracts. And now all the other second round picks are saying, well, if they got them, so should I. And you've got this standoff, I think, between the whole league and all of the second round picks. And that's like a very strange one. Like, why is that happening? Why isn't it happening with the first round picks? Like, that's where it gets a little bit above my head. All I know is there's going to be shakeups. Pablo Torre mentioning there that if it were him, it would go all the way up to Goodell. I don't disagree with him. I just think that would blow my mind. I think this should cost Goodell his job. It would blow my mind if it actually did, though. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a fantasy question, feel free to get it in. We'll change gears. Scott Pianowski, our favorite from during the season, he'll join us coming up next to preview draft season, which really gets rolling this month and then more so into August. Scott, coming up next here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.